This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further in the Psalter, picking up with Psalms 103 and 104. As a father, his kingdom rules over all, clothed with splendor and majesty, wine to gladden, and I will sing while I have being. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Christ has appeared to us.
Oh, let us worship Him. Oh, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing a joyful voice to our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving.
Christ has appeared to us.
Reading from Luke chapter 1. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And kings to the brightness of your rising. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Our text is the prophecy of Zechariah in the first chapter of Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The metaphors that you use in your speech come from the material world around you. So you have heard it said, or perhaps you have used phrases such as the engine of innovation, which only makes sense post-industrial revolution. You might describe a light bulb moment, because we live in the age of electricity. We speak of ideas gaining steam as a holdover from the time of steam locomotion. And so when the Holy Spirit fills Zechariah, the priest bursts into praise and he utters a very curious metaphor. "Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel," he says, "for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." A horn of salvation is Zechariah's metaphor. Keras is the Greek word, horn, as in the bony projection from the forehead of animals. One theological dictionary puts it this way: horn is used metaphorically for strength and honor. Horns are emblems of power, dominion, glory, and fierceness, as they are the chief means of attack and defense for the animals endowed with them. Now, this metaphor is odd for a city kid such as myself. Growing up, I only would see a horned animal occasionally from afar, perhaps in the enclosure at the zoo. But horns are part of the material reality of a priest of Jerusalem, such as Zechariah. Zechariah would see in his mind's eye perhaps the altar of sacrifice in the outer courts of the Jerusalem temple. That altar was adorned with projections called horns at its corners. Zechariah would remember perhaps the burnt offerings of fattened animals offered on that altar, rams and bulls and goats with their horns. But Zechariah is not just accessing his personal experience to draw up this metaphor of the horn. He is accessing what he calls in his prophecy the holy prophets from of old, verse 70, the prophetic scriptures, the Old Testament. Because King David writes in Psalm 18, verse 2, "The Lord is the horn of my salvation." And the Septuagint translates that word with, you got it, keras. Horn. Virtually these exact words are recorded again from David in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Zechariah is borrowing horn as an Old Testament metaphor for the Lord himself. And with this metaphor, Zechariah blesses the Lord for this fact, that the Lord God of Israel himself is visiting his people. He is visiting his people in the person of the baby carried in the womb of Mary, the relative of his own wife, Elizabeth. Mary's child, he knows, will soon be born from the house and the line of King David. This child is God himself. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, the horn of salvation that King David prays, he who delivers his people from their enemies. So, who are our enemies? Zechariah, in his prophecy, names the enemy of sin, verse 77. That enemy, that corruption, that pulls us away from the will of God and turns us inward to do the bidding of our own spirit. Zechariah names the enemy of death, verse 79. That enemy that rips apart body and spirit that God put into the human person to be together. And as you look across the New Testament, there's yet another enemy who rears his ugly horns. Satan, the accuser, the devil. Revelation, a book itself so rich in metaphor, it depicts Satan as a great red dragon with, what on his head? 10 horns. In one vision of Revelation, that horned dragon, Satan, chases the church, which is symbolized as a woman, out into the wilderness. And the woman, the church, gives birth to a child who is a symbol for Jesus. God snatches up that child to his throne in heaven before the horned dragon devours that child. As the dragon wants to do to the child, so he wants to do to you and me. To devour us with the enemy of the guilt of our sin. To devour us with the enemy, the fear of our own death. But this is what the horned dragon didn't bargain for. Guess who else has horns? The child. The Savior. Revelation 5, verse 6. Between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain with 7 horns. The lamb has horns. 7 of them. 7, the symbol, the metaphor of power. And that is perhaps why those living creatures fall face down before the Lamb and worship God by ascribing to him 7 praises, perhaps counting on the horns of the Lamb as we would on our fingers. They sing, all blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength be to God and the Lamb. 7 good reasons why you don't lock horns with the Lamb. The horn of salvation was raised to deliver us from the hands of our enemies and from their horns too. The Lamb of God, Jesus, was slain to fulfill that oath that he swore to our father Abraham. That horn of salvation was raised up first on the cross to the mockery and the scorn of his enemies. But then the horn of salvation was raised from the grave to the dismay of Satan and to the destruction of death. Dear people of God, Zechariah's song of praise is a charter of your redemption in Christ. You have the knowledge of your salvation in the forgiveness of your sins. You are redeemed from the hands of your enemies, not only their hands, but also their horns. That you might serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all your days. You are redeemed to offer to God the sacrifices of the priesthood of his people, not the bulls and goats that Zechariah would have offered, but the living sacrifices, the sacrifice of your body and mind that are conformed to the will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are redeemed from the hands of your enemies, so that with your hands you may serve the one who has redeemed you. As Luther proclaims in his explanation to the second article, speaking of the end result of our redemption, he says, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, blessedness. You serve your Redeemer Jesus as his people, the church. And since Jesus is the head of the church, remember this. It is always the head that wields the horn. To him is all blessing, all glory, all wisdom, all thanksgiving, all honor, all power and strength are his, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
O Lord, hear my prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, keep us from the vain strife of words, and grant to us a constant profession of the truth. Preserve us in the faith, true and undefiled, so that we may ever hold fast to that which we have professed, that we may have you for our Father, that we abide in your Son, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.